You're listening to IdiotCast, Season 5, Episode 1, Sympathy for the Devil. With the final seal broken, Lucifer seeks out a vessel to begin his apocalypse on Earth. Meanwhile, Dean is revealed to be the potential vessel for Michael, the Archangel, so long as he gives his consent.
Welcome back to IdiotCast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, here in my living room in Duluth, Minnesota, with my lovely wife, Darcy.
Well, hello.
And the cold from hell continues.
Yep.
Partially because it was only 20 minutes ago that I last spoke, anyway.
We still have it. We're all right. We're tough.
There you go.
Well, Lucifer just rose, so of course the cold from hell is going to stick around.
Of course. And you just heard our expert, John.
Hi, I'm sweaty.
And we've also got with us our expert Annie.
Hello.
And our other newbie Yvette.
Hey, y'all.
And then we've also got back our guest from last week, Ellie.
Hi.
Hello, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
I don't have anything witty to say.
Okay. And I'm on cold medication, so it's all...
It's all good, man.
It's all good, man.
I love you guys.
Never have anything witty to say.
But I do have a summary from Supernatural Wiki because we just finished watching the episode. I didn't have time to scribble down a summary of my own.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It works.
It works.
Gets the job done.
It gets the job done.
We love that Supernatural Wiki.
We do. We love
their
it.
Their summaries are a lot better than Resurrection Cast. Mm-hmm. They sometimes get their Battlestar Galactica summaries from different places, and they're so bad.
Heidi and I had that problem toward the last couple of seasons of Castle because... I think it was abc.com, like they stopped doing summaries because mm-hmm. it's usually where we read them from. And so we started getting them from like just like weird random places. And some of them were like really terrible.
Yeah, sometimes they just give up. Like if they can't find a good like fan wiki out there, then they just go to the Netflix summary, which is like a sentence.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like potential cast would often do that. And like those things are terrible. Like those Netflix recaps.
Sometimes they recap the B story.
Yeah, or they're not even like completely accurate. You know, like they'll misrepresent the episode, and it's like, hey, that's not.
I saw the trailer. I can write the episode description.
That's right. It's just like TV Guide, right? They probably stole it from the TV Guide.
There you go.
Starting on the tangents, first thing in the episode.
Yeah, there we go.
New record.
Trying to get them out of the way, I guess.
All right, but this is the summary, and it does look a little bit more elaborate than a Netflix summary, so we'll give that a shot. Sam and Dean are trapped in the vestibule as Lucifer breaks free of his confinement following Sam killing Lilith and breaking the last of the 66 seals. Just as a blinding light and sound force them to their knees... They are transported into an airplane flying over Ilchester, Maryland, where Lucifer had been confined. Landing safely, although unsure how they were saved, they travel to Kripke's Hollow and the devastated remains of Chuck's house.
Kripke's Hollow, it's not Godric's Hollow at least, right?
Right, no, it's Kripke's Hollow because that's the creator and writer of this episode. Creator of the show, right?
And then a reference to Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
Is it? I don't know.
Yes, it's a Stars Hollow. Stars Hollow, Kripke's Hollow.
Okay.
There you go. This summary seems to think that they landed after being on that plane.
That's what I think. I'm sorry, John, but that's what I think.
All right. Well,
I think the light was because they saw the light coming up from the from hell? From
the thing outside. Maybe I was having a stroke. I'll have to go back and take a look.
I just don't think it's clear. I remember when I first saw this episode and I'm like, WTF, what is going on? This is not what I was expecting to come back, because we had like a summer break, you know, and Supernatural fans call it the hellitis. and so it's like we leave on this cliffhanger and you come back and you're just like, that's it?
Like, yeah.
What? Okay.
Oh, they were going to show some close-ups of the rod.
All right. Well, to the devastated remains of Chuck's house, he explains that the Archangel had blown Castiel apart. He uses much more colorful language, and it might be in the quotes. Zachariah arrives and tells Dean he is needed to battle Lucifer, who is seeking a vessel to possess. Dean is angry and not willing to help the angels. Surprise! He has already partly drawn an angel-banishing sigil on the sliding door with his own palm. He pulls out the sliding door to reveal the sigil and then slaps his bloody palm onto it, and Zachariah and his angels disappear.
You guys seemed impressed by that.
I was impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Good memory.
I know. How could he remember all those like intricate things? I know I couldn't.
I just always wonder, when did he do that? Because the way that they edit this episode was like the angels showed up right after they did. But I don't know.
Yeah, there is in screenwriting, there's a term called shoe leather, where like typically if you have a scene where, like, let's say somebody pulls up to a building, they get out of the car and they walk up to the building and then enter. Usually you all the walking stuff, like, you just, you know, you'd cut that out, and so you'd show somebody, like, mm-hmm. somebody would pull up, and maybe you would cut to an interior shot of them entering the building, you know, and so all that stuff is called shoe leather, and there is no shoe leather in this episode.
Yeah.
There's, like, no room for it.
There's kind of a habit in this show of sometimes people will, like, run into a room for whatever reason and, like, draw a sigil in blood on the wall without saying anything to anybody, because that's
just in case
top priority.
Yeah, there were a lot of very speedy devil's traps at some points in time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figured.
I wonder how many times there are how many times there are off screen where like they put one up just in case, but then like nobody shows up and they're like,
they didn't end up using it.
It's like, wasted all that time.
So you're not getting your security deposit back. Sorry about that.
At a motel room, Sam arrives with some hex bags to hide them from the angels, which Sam reluctantly admits Ruby taught him how to make. Sam says he isn't feeling any after effects from the demon blood. He tries to talk to Dean about what has happened, about freeing Lucifer, but Dean refuses to engage with him. Dean suggests they treat it as any hunt, and they set out finding Lucifer. Becky Rosen, obviously a fan of the Supernatural books written by Chuck Shirley, judging by the posters in her room, is writing some Wincest fan fiction.
I want to stop and bring something up, because I briefly mentioned in the Nubentary about how the actress might seem familiar to some of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys remember all the way back in season 2, I believe it was, where there were those group of people that were chosen. They were like special
kids.
They had gifts and stuff, and one of them was a woman. Ava. Yes, Ava, thank you.
No.
But you don't remember Bobby, so it doesn't matter.
Well, don't ask me if I remember then.
It wasn't just you I was talking to.
Never mind.
Point is, that actress, she was the co-lead in a series of Canadian werewolf films called Ginger Snaps.
I've heard of those, haven't seen them yet.
I love Ginger Snaps. I'm really embarrassed that I didn't recognize her.
Well, the other co-lead in that, the other sister in that, is Becky. Emily Perkins, who is Becky in this. So they managed to get them both.
John, have you seen all of the Ginger Snaps?
No, I've only seen the first one.
Ginger Snaps Back is hilarious. You have to see
it. Really?
That's the second one, right?
It's the one where they go like into the 1500s or something.
Oh, okay.
For
that's
no reason.
That's the third one. That's the third one. I've heard
off the wall. Nutty. Yeah. Like it makes no sense. It's right. Amazing.
And I've heard because of that, it's actually surprisingly good. I've heard the second one's like not bad, but you know, not great. And then I've heard the third one is actually really good. So
let me make sure I'm not crazy and giving you the, I'm pretty sure it's in the snaps.
No, I think you're right. Cause so I think the second one is like a direct, sequel where like, what's her face? Like gets put in an institution.
That's right, because there's there's Ginger. Yeah, the one I'm talking about is the Ginger Snaps Back, the beginning, and that's mm-hmm. the one where for some reason they travel back in time.
Yeah,
I guess it's just to the 1800s.
I think wasn't it like a prequel, and like that's like their ancestors or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but in movie fashion, so it doesn't really make sense why they would look exactly like their ancestors. But
right.
Well, that's one of those tropes.
It's just, yeah, tropes. They wanted to give the actresses something else to do.
Yeah. I always love that. Okay, so I just remembered to look up morethanbrothers.net.
Yes!
And I was going to do that during the episode, but like the way my settings were that I couldn't easily escape full screen without stopping the episode. So. It takes me to a Warner Brothers landing page.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if it ever had something on here. I don't know what they would put on it if it did.
Well, remember at one point, beauties.com was a thing. So
full disclosure, I do enjoy reading supernatural fan fiction sometimes. Well,
a lot of people, yes, it is very much, yeah.
But not the Wincest.
then you were probably of a certain minority, because yeah, that's.
If it's well written, I'll read
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I've tried, and it just, I don't know, it freaks me out.
And that fan fiction that I disclosed that I was exposed to back before we started is still confusing to me. So I try not to think about it too much.
Yeah.
Okay. That's for the best. That's probably always going to be the case. Like, it's never going to become clear.
All right.
After 12, 13 seasons
we'll
of
see.
Supernatural.
We'll see. Yeah, I don't even know exactly when it was. Well, I can't remember when that was exactly, so I can't predict exactly where that was, when that was written between or anything, so it doesn't make any sense yet.
All right, where were we in this episode?
We are with Becky Rosen. She is in the middle of writing her fan fiction when Chuck instant messages her and asks her to pass a message along to Sam and Dean. She does so, however, the message that the angels have lost Michael's sword and that it is to be found in a castle on a hill made of 42 dogs. Doesn't appear to make much sense. Then there is a brief scene of a man, Nick, who seems to be having nightmares or hallucinations. After hallucinating that his bed is full of blood, he finds his dead wife lying next to him in bed, whispering to him, "You're special."
You're special. Sorry.
So special.
Bobby arrives in the Impala with research about the Archangel Michael. Sam confesses to Bobby that it was his actions that freed Lucifer, and Bobby coldly tells him that once the hunt is over, he wants nothing to do with Sam. Sam leaves to do some research.
Cold as ice.
Yeah. While researching further, Dean gets an idea and goes through some of John's old things. He finds the address for John's storage facility, Castle Storage, 42 Rover Hill. It fits the message from Chuck. Just then, a woman arrives with two henchmen. That's not exactly how that all worked out, but okay. Just then, a woman arrives with two henchmen. It is Meg, the demon that once worked with Azazel and possessed Sam during the events of Born Under a Bad Sign. Bobby attacks.
Yay, new Meg.
Bobby attacks and restrains Dean. He too is.
Hey, old character.
Yeah.
How long has it been since we've seen her? Since the second season?
Oh, we had that dream. Yeah. Yeah, because we had the vessel Meg or
the real Meg, the ghost Meg,
ghost real Meg.
Yeah.
Yeah, why do they keep calling her Meg? That's not the demon's name. That's the girl's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's probably one, because it's easier. It's like a shorthand. It's like, oh, we know exactly who they're talking about.
It's stunning.
And then, you know, like, okay, well, apparently the demon has no problem, like, taking that name for herself.
Do we
like,
know the demon's real name?
No.
So it could be Meg.
Coincidence.
Maybe like, yeah. maybe that's why she
I only possess people.
Maybe that's why she targeted Meg.
Yeah.
Only possesses Megs.
Yeah.
And a little bit of Sam. And Sam a little while.
But she strongly prefers a Meg.
Yes.
Don't we all?
She must have been like that girl in the daycare then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's the excuse. That's the reason.
That was exactly the reason why that child had some issues.
Okay. So we'll let that go.
Taking the child's name is Meg.
Could have been.
Oh, it was horrible.
Bobby attacks and restrains Dean. He, too, is possessed. Meg says the demons want Dean dead so he can't stop Lucifer. She orders...
Oh, yeah. That happens first.
Yes, it does.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bobby attacks and restrains Dean, and then Meg shows up.
Yeah.
She orders the possessed Bobby to kill Dean with Ruby's knife, but just as he's about to strike, Bobby manages to battle the demon and stab himself instead.
I thought he was dead, y'all. I was like, oh, well, now he's gone. Bye.
I didn't think that because I got spoiled yesterday, actually, on that thing.
Oh.
What, on Jim Beaver?
How did that happen?
Casting for a while?
I saw, and, you know, I guess we don't know what will come of this, but now I do, so. It was just a picture I saw, that's all.
Yeah.
I was like, damn it.
Picture of Bobby and the boys in more recent times.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, there, now we're all spoiled.
But. Yeah, thanks. I thought he was going to die any second now.
Yeah, he's alive.
Thanks for ruining it.
I know.
My joy.
All right, then. Well, maybe he was just dropping by set to visit.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe.
Not in that getup.
Oh, yeah, that's just what he wears.
That's what he wears all the time.
Trucker hat all the time. Jim Beaver, trucker hat. All right. Sam returns and helps dispatch the other two demons, but Meg escapes by leaving her vessel. Sam and Dean drop off a gravely injured Bobby at the hospital and race to John's lockup. Once there, they find some dead demons and Zachariah with some angel muscle.
Y'all, this was so confusing. Like, this whole episode. Like, at this point, I was like, I don't know. I was confused.
About the Michael sword thing?
The Michael sword thing, what Meg had to do with anything, like when did Bobby get possessed? Like it was just like, honestly, this whole episode, I was like, really, it was like, I was kind of following up until this point, and then I was like, wait, what? And then like, for some reason, it all just started falling down around me.
Well, the Michael sword doesn't make sense because they planted that in Chuck's head for Chuck to recite back to them.
If there's one, like, complaint that I have for this episode, it's that it's both, like, a good and a bad thing that there is no, like, time to breathe in this episode. There's no shoe leather. Because that's also a bad thing in that, like, there's a little too much crammed into this one episode. Because it's like, we're introduced to a whole lot. It's like, oh, suddenly there's, you know, there's the whole Michael sword thing. And then there's this character, Becky. And then, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a very,
like, first part of a.
Yes.
Involved plot.
Right.
You know, because now it's like they're trying to set up like, okay, and all then, the stuff that we've been building up and that we've been doing before, like that's done. And now the apocalypse has started.
Yeah.
And that's what everything is about.
And Meg is back, you know, just in a new body. And then we've also got, you know, this guy, Nick, and what he's going through. So there's just, and, you know, and there's Castiel's new sort of like, you know, raise in the ranks. And it's just like there is a lot to take in and process in these 42 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot to take in. There's no time to breathe. And then, like, even just among us, like, we're confused about, like, the beginning of the episode where we're like, wait, were they on the plane? Then they landed the plane and then they got in a car. Did they teleport from the plane to the car? Like,
right.
I just felt like so much of this was, like, just, like, crammed together and it didn't really stick for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it was at this point in the episode that I was like, I cannot take any more. Stop throwing things at me.
I want to get off. Stop.
All of these threads will be drawn together.
Yes, eventually.
But I do feel like this episode has a lot of issues with pacing. Even the scene, like, I love any scenes with our main characters, but the scenes with Dean and Sam are, I don't know, they don't flow really. Yeah. The best scenes though are all the scenes with Nick and Lucifer. I loved those scenes.
Anything with Mark Pellegrino in this show is amazing.
Well, I think what's nice
anything
about that.
Anything with Mark Pellegrino in any show.
I think what's nice about that is that it's new. It has nothing to do with, you know, there's no Sam, no Dean, you know, none of their drama that's been dragging on for several seasons. Like, this is just, it's like, here's this new guy and what's going on with him? What's his backstory? You know, what's his dilemma? So I think that helps a lot, you know, to like, oh, okay, well, this is, I've not seen this before on this show. But I think it's interesting because usually with like the end of a season, they'll do like a two-parter, you know. Shows usually do that, but very rarely, like, you know, off the top of my head, I can think of, like, you know, season six of Buffy, you know, starting with like an actual two-parter.
Yeah.
And like nobody else really does that. And it feels like they would have benefited from doing that here because they've crammed so much in this episode. Like, you should have spread this out over two episodes and maybe had it be a season two-parter, especially since originally for Eric Kripke, season five was supposed to be the last season.
Right.
He had a whole 5-year plan. But of course, you know, the show being as popular as it is, like, we're now into, you know, season 27. So.
So when we're watching this, are we watching this like we're watching the final season? Like, is it, you know, like.
You can sort of view it that way, but it's not required. But it does. It
it's
does
an
help.
Enlightening perspective, though.
Yes, it does help to sort of explain a few things.
Cool.
It is widely regarded as the best season of the show.
Also,
ooh,
that
opinion spoilers. I like it.
Yeah. If you guys noticed, we got a new title card. You know, it's a new season, so of course we get a new title card. You know, it was all white with the blood trails and stuff.
Yeah.
The smoky blood. That's where I got the. If you've ever seen the header art that I made for the IdiotCast spoilers page on Facebook, I was trying to recreate that.
I haven't seen that.
I gotta go look. Reason. Hang on.
Pardon me. I'm going to cough now.
Better art for this episode. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Right. New title card.
Yeah.
All right, we're still in the storage unit.
Yeah, yeah. Zachariah reveals that they misled Chuck. Michael's sword is at the storage lockup because it's Dean. Right. Okay.
Here's the thing I want to mention because the summary has been talking about like how all of this stuff happened at the storage unit. Didn't it happen at the hotel they were staying at?
No, they just got there. They just had them get there.
Yeah, I know that. I know the stuff with the angels when they show up. Like that's all at the. At the storage unit.
Yeah, that's all.
But I thought this all the stuff with like Bobby and Meg and everything was at.
It is.
Was at that hotel?
Yeah, it is. They say in the summary after they drop Bobby off at the hospital, they race to the lockup, and when they get there, they find the dead demons in Zachariah.
Okay.
Yeah. Zachariah reveals that they misled Chuck. Michael's sword is at the storage lockup. I said this already. Because it's Dean. Zachariah explains that Dean is to be the vessel for the Archangel Michael so that he can defeat Lucifer. He admits, however, they need Dean's consent for this. When Dean refuses, Zachariah breaks one of Sam's legs. He then says that Bobby will never walk again unless Dean agrees. Dean still refuses. Then he strikes Dean with stomach cancer. As he coughs up blood, Zachariah stops Sam from breathing by taking away his lungs.
Yeah, these angels have a really, like, messed up view of consent.
Just then, Castiel appears. He attacks the angels with his angel blade and orders Zachariah to make Sam and Dean whole again and then to leave. And he also has a fairly in-depth conversation with Zachariah about the whole plane thing and everything. That it wasn't the angels that put them on that plane and that the answer is disturbing.
Something that would make Zachariah run away.
Apparently.
So confusing.
So Zachariah leaves. Castiel is elusive about how he has been brought back from death, but before he leaves, he touches Sam and Dean, burning an Enochian sigil into their ribs that will hide them from the angels, demons, and Lucifer.
That was cool. But would that also hide them from him?
Yep. Well, apparently he's special.
Ah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he can still, like, see them. Like when they're standing in front of
him. Yeah, I guess, yeah, they're not totally like they didn't disappear.
Right. It's like, whoa. I hear them, but I don't see them. Where are they? Marco.
Nick, meanwhile, wanders through his house distraught. His wife and child have been murdered during a home invasion. As he grieves, he starts hallucinating again. Lucifer appears as his wife, Sarah, and tells him that he is a vessel and that Lucifer wants his consent to possess him. Lucifer says he's misunderstood, that he was punished for loving God too much. He says that to let Nick's family be murdered, God must be either uncaring or a sadist. He tells Nick possession will be painful, but that Lucifer will help him get justice for his family. And Nick consents to possession.
Boom. You know what I like about this scene? I mean, because I like all of these scenes, but like what I like about Lucifer's speech and everything is that, like, I believe everything she's saying, you know. And so when she says, like, I don't lie, I don't have to, it's like, yeah, you don't. And so, you know, sympathy for the devil, it worked on me.
Mm-hmm. All right,
I can't believe I never made the connection before that the vessel's name is Nick and one of the names for Satan is Old Nick.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah,
it just kind of struck me earlier. I was like, oh my gosh.
Those writers are clever.
At the hospital, Bobby yells at a doctor who tells him he won't walk again. He says they need to keep fighting, but is pessimistic about their chances. Dean makes a stirring speech saying that they should take them all on, angels and demons, and try to win. As they walk to the car, Dean admits the speech was for Bobby's benefit. Oh, and also there's also that bit in there where Bobby tells Sam it was the demon speaking, and he's not gonna.
I love that part.
Yeah, I know they don't mention that part, but I thought
I just love whenever, like, you know, because yeah, we have the sense that like Bobby started as a guest star and then he was like slightly recurring, and so I love it whenever they create those moments. I mean, this is why the fans love Bobby. Like when I first saw him, I'm like, oh yeah, it's Bobby, because of these times where he becomes this great father figure,
yeah,
you know?
Yep.
Unlike John Winchester, not you, John.
I know.
We don't know if you're a good father figure or not.
My mom said I would always be a good dad.
All right. Sam again tries to get Dean to talk about what happened. Dean admits that he feels deeply hurt and let down by Sam. And even though he knows Sam is sorry, he doesn't know if he can trust him again. And that's the end of the summary.
Yeah, that's the end of the episode.
So, by popular demand, or demand of our spreadsheet, I don't know which, it's going to be who wins, Sam or Dean?
I'm going to go with neither.
I say Dean, because he learned that that angel hieroglyphic thing really fast, but that's the only reason.
Oh, because he kicked ass with the sigil?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm going to go with Sam, just because I haven't been able to give Sam a win for such a long time. And I really missed him, you know, being himself and not completely misled by demonic machinations. Yeah. And he's not trying to make amends. Yeah, he's trying to get, but he knows how very badly he screwed up and he feels appropriately bad about it. So I'm happy to give it to Sam.
he's taking responsibility and willing to accept the consequences. I like that too. I'm going to say Sam, mostly for the actor. I thought in this episode, like, there's a lot of really good, like, subtle, like, unspoken. There's like really good, you know, acting on Jared Padalecki's part in this episode, just like little moments where like someone will say something to him and you'll see his face sort of change and twitch just ever so slightly. And it's like, and like, you know, exactly like what he's thinking. You know, like when, you know, Bobby tells him that, he tells Sam, you know, he's not gonna, you know, that he didn't mean what he said. It wasn't him talking, and you know, they're totally cool. And he's never going to like turn his back on him. And there's this little, you know, like small smile that that he has, you know, from hearing that. And it's just, it's a really nice, like, kind of choke you up kind of moment, you know, tugs at the heartstrings. And then also at the end when Sam
really
and Dean are talking,
visibly flinched at the end. Yeah, when Dean
and Dean, when he says that there's nothing he can do, and he doesn't think he can ever forgive and forget, he has that, it really hits him. He's like, oh crap, that's really bad. And so again, it's another little subtle, you know, blinking you miss it kind of thing, where it's like, that's actually some really strong acting on his part, I would say.
All right, I'll go with Sam. You convince me.
Oh, good.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm leaning neither, because I said Dean at first just because I felt like Sam lost, because he's like getting all this blame for starting the apocalypse. But I mean, like, that doesn't mean that Dean wins.
So you go with neither?
Yeah, because like Dean's just pissed that happened too. So, and now he found out he's Michael's vessel. Oh, that's no fun.
All right, that gives this one to Sam.
All right. So
Sam, finally.
Hey, Allie.
Everything's coming to Bill House.
Allie, good news. You get the first quote if you want it.
Okay. Well, so I just watched it for the first time with you guys, so I'm just going to look something up, and this is the first thing. So I'm really sorry. Someone else really wanted. Zachariah is talking to Dean, and he's like, "You're chosen. It's a great honor, Dean." And Dean says, "Oh, yeah, yeah, life as an angel condom. That's real fun."
All right, I got one. "Becky, could you please quit touching me?" "No."
Oh, my God, Becky.
"You got my letters and my marzipan."
Marzipan.
Oh, that's just... it's just a funny word.
That was actually a running joke in the writer's room on Buffy, because apparently Jane Espenson is the same way, thinks that marzipan is a really funny word. So often in her scripts, the word marzipan would show up.
Memorably from the Buffy bot.
Yep.
Do you like marzipan?
No, I like it okay.
I love it. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm very hungry tonight. Yeah.
Actually, I remember I was looking up like the scene where Buffybot is trying to make knock knock jokes.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to look it up and I couldn't find it on YouTube. So I uploaded it and it's my most popular video on my YouTube.
Yay!
I'll share it in the Facebook group.
Yay!
Yeah, the punchline to that scene is too long to try to quote out loud.
Yeah.
"Where's Cass? He's dead or gone. The Archangel smoked the crap out of him. I'm sorry. You're sure? I mean, maybe he just vanished into the light or something. Oh no, he like exploded like a water balloon, a chunky soup."
I have a couple. I got no idea, but what I do have is a GED and a give 'em hell attitude. And, oh, thank God, the angels are here.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Perfect level of sarcasm.
You got anything you want to quote? No? All right. Yeah. Anybody else have anything else that's a burning desire to say something?
I don't know. Just Dean was very colorful in this episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did like Chuck's Is that a molar? Do I have a human molar in my hair?
These things happen, you know.
It's been a really stressful day.
And we have one late arriving piece of feedback from Heidi. And she says, "Hey guys, sorry I've missed a few episodes. I got crazy busy the last part of the summer. I'm not sure if I've made it in time for this one, but here goes anyway." Spoiler alert, you didn't. "The Sam superfan is just so meta, it's hilarious. I knew Bobby wasn't acting like himself. Yes, I've seen the season before, but only once when it aired, and I don't remember a lot of the details. Meg is back, but in a new body. Oh look, it's Mark Pellegrino, the man who appears on every TV show ever. Dean has his GED? Anyway, the boys are already fighting. I remember really liking season 5, opinion spoilers, so we'll see if it holds true this time. Until next time, Heidi." Thank you so much, Heidi. And Simone says, "The devil, intriguing and sexy. Mark Pellegrino, heart. Thanks, Sammy, for letting him loose on the world. Winking smiley." Thanks, Simone.
Okay, so we should rate this. The step that I always almost forget and say, okay, let's go.
No.
We gotta rate.
Ratings. Anyone? I'll start.
Okay, go.
You know, it was the first episode of season 5. I thought, you know, it had some issues with pace. I thought it was a little confusing at times. I had a hard time following. But, you know, all in all, I think we got to the end. We learned a little something. So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 marzipans.
Marzipans, huh?
Yeah. Marzipans.
Is that like a marzipan log, or is that the one that...
You know, I actually usually like make little fruits out of them, yeah, like apricots or something like that.
Yeah.
I like the marzipan pigs that you like get for New Year's.
Oh, those are tasty as well, yes.
Yeah.
I've never had that.
I guess I'll go next. My, like I said before, my only issue with the episode is that it's a little too tightly wound because there's just so much crammed into 42 minutes. And that's so that, you know, that's a pacing issue. That's a little annoying. But aside from that, like, I thought this episode was pretty great because it's just like, it's really quippy. There's some really nice, heavy moments, you know, between Sam and Dean. And I like how, you know, in the face of these like overwhelming odds that, you know, they're still, you know, it's not like before where Dean was ready to give up, you know, even though he's at a point where like he has no idea what to do, he's still going to try. So I thought that was really nice. And I like how Sam is taking responsibility for what he's done. And he's willing to talk about it, you know, instead of like, you know, try and sweep it under the rug or anything like that. So I'm going to give this one 9 out of 10 bloody molars.
Yeah, I took note that they were packing a lot in. I as it was getting toward the end, I was like, this feels long. Was this a long episode? Did they just not tell us that it's going to be a long episode? And I looked over at the clock on the DVD and noticed that it was pretty much just coming up on the end. But they really packed a lot in there, and I really appreciated that. I don't know. I don't buy that Dean is never going to trust Sam again. I think it's going to be like 2 episodes and they're going to be back to normal. It'd be nice if it wasn't that way, but that's my feeling about TV in general. So we'll see. Maybe not full on normal, but something close to it. So, but anyways, besides not buying that, I'm going to give it a 8.5 out of 10. Damn, the molar was what I was planning. So let's think. Oh, angel condoms.
You know, in Dean's defense, or at least defense of the writing, he did give caveats in term at the time. He said like, you know, I'm finding it hard to forgive and forget, and he said like, right now there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
So you know, there's an out there that like it's. That's probably going to change.
He's basically saying, I just need some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. he wasn't you know, so concrete. Like, he was like, I will never forgive you, and this, like, we are done, and you know,
not like in that stripper episode where he's like, if you walk through that door, you were never coming back.
Yeah,
or that old trope.
Yeah. Right. See, the only thing it was missing is it should have been like Buffy's mom, where she should have been holding a drink, and like, you know, because it's like, because yeah, we see you drink all the time, and then all of a sudden, like a soap opera drama queen, like throw it against the wall, you know.
Annie.
Okay. I think for a season opener that this episode really packs a wallop, and I did the same thing as Paul. I like 45 minutes, or I'm sorry. Like 27 minutes in, however many it was, I looked at the timer and was like, oh my gosh, like how much longer is left in this episode? It feels really long. But watching it again, every single thing that happens in this episode is set up. Like everything will, you know, play out, and there's just so much, and I really love it. And it's written by Kripke, and I'm going to rate it, I guess 10 out of 10 bamps out of hell. If that enunciation worked.
Badass, but
yes.
Allie.
I don't know, talking about it, I'm like, I'm definitely seeing the merits of this episode, but I still feel like I kind of, because this is an intro cast, I kind of want to rate it based off of my original feelings about it, where, I mean, of course there's the series pacing issues that we've discussed. But also it was just kind of almost anticlimactic when I was, you know, when I was watching it coming back, you know, to yeah, this season open.
The whole, we're going to see Lucifer sorta.
And then, yeah. And then like, there's all these things happening where like, you don't understand what's going on. And it's just like, it's just kind of like a, you know, this deus ex machina, like, oh, Dean and Sam are safe, and Sam's okay, and Castiel is dead, and now he's okay, and like, what, I don't, you know, like, none of this makes sense, and none of this is satisfying on first watch.
It was a little too clean, maybe, like, not much of a struggle.
Yeah. So,
I get that.
Yeah, but I did really, really enjoy the scenes that we did have with Lucifer. So I'll give it a 7 out of 10 new Megs.
Oh, new Meg. So I was thoroughly confused by this episode, which I mentioned. I didn't really get it. And even though it was like really crammed full of stuff, I also thought it was weirdly boring at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was not enamored of this one at all. I thought it was passable. It's fine. Everybody showed up, did their jobs. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10 soul planes, which gives this episode a 7.58 out of 10. So as far as season openers go, better than last one.
Yeah.
Oh, better. Not as good as season 2.
Oh, that episode is so good.
Oh, and Time of Dying.
Not as good as the pilot. So this is our third highest rated there. So second lowest rated.
Opinion spoilers that I already kind of said on the Facebook page is looking at the episode list of the season. I was like, oh, man. Oh, this episode's in here. Oh, this episode's in here.
Yeah.
So hopefully it just gets better from here for all of you.
Awesome. All right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, thank you. You're
always welcome.
Thank you.
And we'll go ahead, and if we have some openings, we might make the call again, perhaps. We'll see.
Yeah.
And I think you are signed up for a couple as well, right?
I did.
Like directly signed up. All right. Very good. Do you want to leave any plugs?
Sure. I am starting a new project on the internet, so people might be interested in that. If you follow my Instagram, I'm the Wonder Band. How does that show? Do you just search for it? I don't know how Instagram works. I'm still working on that.
You just is it just the Wonder Band?
I'm the Wonder Band. Like, I am the Wonder Band, but no A.
So it's got I'm in there.
And so I'm going to be uploading videos every Saturday as part of a music project and updating what's going on with the songs that I'm recording, and hopefully recording some of those songs for you, and at least as much as Instagram will let me load, and leading up to releasing a digital album that anyone can download.
Awesome. Very good.
Awesome. Yeah, we should for anyone who doesn't know or has maybe forgotten, we should mention that Allie is responsible for our theme song.
Yes, very much.
Yay, theme song.
Yeah. And there's another song that I kept meaning to send to you guys that I wanted to do, but I don't have I only recorded it once and it sounds like crap, and I missed the relevant episodes. So I'll just work on it and see when I send it to you guys.
Oh, yay.
Surprising.
All right. Very good. All right. Hey, John, what is our homework for next week?
Next week's homework is season 5, episode 2, Good God, Y'all.
It's hot in the hot tub.
Oh, I remember when I learned the title for this episode after I watched, because I was like fully entrenched in the fandom as this season was airing. And like, it was, you know, it was like, it was during the fourth season where I was like, okay, this is my thing, Supernatural. I'm watching it every week and looking up spoilers, you know, like what's the casting announcements and all that stuff. And so I saw the title for this episode. And I know what my first thoughts were. Do you guys have any?
Well, Jesus.
Well, I get my first thought would be God's going to show up since we had Lucifer in this episode. Maybe we'll see God. Probably not. But that's what I would like.
It seems far-fetched, but yeah, it does sound that seems to be where I'm leaning. God makes his presence known for the first time in forever, apparently.
It's played by James Brown.
And played by James Brown.
All right.
Well, hey, it's late, so I'm just going to say until next time, everybody, happy hunting.
Happy hunting.
Happy hunting. Bye, y'all. Bye. Thank you.
Or good morning.
You've been listening to IdgitCast from QuadrupleZ.com. Join the discussion at facebook.com/IdgitCast. We love feedback. You can email us or send us an MP3 voice message. Please use the episode title as your subject line to prevent accidental spoilers. Our email address is IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. The theme song for IdgitCast is by Borrowed Trouble. Find the band at BorrowedTrouble.com. Lyrics and vocals by IdgitCast's founder, Allie Jones, who you can find out all about at imthewonderband.com. The closing music you hear right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan, and is used by permission. You can find other music, writings, and discussions by Jack, as well as back episodes of his own Deadpan podcast at jackmangan.com. You can hear more from the hosts of this show. Yvette can be heard as one of the hosts of Investigating Mars, an intro cast for the TV series Veronica Mars, also available from quadruplez.com. John Pavlich can be heard on CastleCast, a fan cast for the ABC series Castle at castlecast.net, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Now you can also watch the Sofa Dogs YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/sofadogs.
Annie is currently acting as global coordinator for Can't Stop the Serenity, a worldwide series of charity screenings of Joss Whedon's Serenity, benefiting Equality Now. For more information on Can't Stop the Serenity, including event listings and how to host an event, visit www.can'tstoptheserenity.com.
Darcy and I can also be heard on the Ghostlight podcast, an intercast for the television series Slings and Arrows, also featured on quadruplez.com.